Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Once again, it's the No Chaser Show. And this is JT. I am the co-host of No Chaser, along with Mac Williams. And the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220. I'm looking for my co-host. Don't know where he's at. Thought he'd be here by now. And we also have a chat room open, baby, people. It's always open for whatever you like to discuss. And you know what? Since I got this going right now, let's do this. If for those who don't know, and I'm pretty sure if you follow the news, you do know that there was a tragedy that took place in a small grammar school in Connecticut. We're talking about the tragedy of the Sandy Hook School, where 20 small children were killed. 6 adults at that school were slain, and also found at the shooter's home, the parents' home, was the mother of the shooter, who was happens to be a teacher at the same school. Now, I'm gonna have to make this a political thing. I mean, I'm not a strong proponent of guns. Don't like them. Never have. When my kids were young, and I had all boys, none of the toys I ever bought for them, whether it was for their birthday or any other special occasion, even like Christmas, did they ever have a gun, a toy gun. Don't believe in it. I know there's proponents out there that are strong advocates of the right to bear arms, but the right to bear arms and assault weapons and things of that ilk is not one of the things that I strongly agree with. So for those of you who believe in that, call in, state your case, tell me why you think, besides this old standard that the right to bear arms, which is a catch-all, because there's too many of these things happening with random acts of violence and mass people being slain when if there was more gun control and more overlook. I understand the fact is guns don't kill people. People who hold the guns kill people or something to that effect. I understand that a logic that it, so-called excuse, whatever you want to say, but the fact is, if there were more checks and balances on people, whoever they are, getting certain types of weapons, and quite naturally, when they do these random acts, it's definitely in the wrong hands, then we wouldn't have these things happening. Talking about schools, we're talking about movie theaters, we're talking about shopping malls. Why, oh why, if a person that has so much rage is willing to take it out on innocent people that had nothing to do with your rage, and you have results like you have today. And let me bring in this caller here. I think it's my host. Let's go here. Caller from the 301. Is this my host, Mac Williams?
Yes, it is. Sorry about being late, guys.
Okay.
I ran into a little bit of traffic, and I am here. I was listening to some of what you said. I'd like to say, since I am the host of the show, I'd like to say first and foremost, my heart goes out to all those people who lost their kids today. My thoughts and prayers are with them. It's probably going to bring up a lot of things I probably want to say, things I've said on Facebook, things I need to say. But first and foremost, who's on here? You and who else?
That's just me and you,
just
me and you.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. I just wanted to say that, I'm not a big Obama supporter, and I put this on Facebook, and I said, we disagree on policy. But first and foremost, I want to say that I think what he said today was eloquent, well-timed, well-said. It's the first time in a long time I've seen a president cry, and I knew it was genuine, and I knew it was real. And I just wanted to say, President Obama did a good job today of conveying a great message, and it was well said, and I wanted to give him credit. He looked very presidential today. Not that he isn't the president, but today I just thought, that's what a president's supposed to do. And I just wanted to give him credit for that, because I have my things I say, but I give credit to people when they do something that is very well spoken and very good. And I just wanted to say that. It's a shame that it happened today. I'm a Christian, and I can't say I know this guy or know what he was, but one of the things I think we need in this country is I definitely don't think. For me, I just think it has to do with people's minds and people's hearts. And, when people start thinking wrong thoughts and go down that path, this is what happens. I know I'm going to get people. I was on Facebook and online today, and I know a lot of people. There were some people, not many, but there were some who talked about, gun control and banning guns and all that. But, I'm a firm believer in, I'm a firm believer in not banning guns, because I don't think it's the guns that are killing people, it's the people. It's, and if we get rid of guns, it's going to be something else. It's going to be a chainsaw. It's going to be a knife. It's going to be an axe. It's going to be something. And in this country, we just have to, I don't know anything else to say, except to say, I'm sorry that it happened. And we just, I don't know where we're going wrong. I think we're just not noticing. We're not noticing the people who have issues or problems, or we're denying it, because you can't tell me that this guy just all of a sudden snapped today. There's got to be sign. The places you pick an elementary school. But I know his mom was there, and I know that's probably one of the reasons why he did it. But why couldn't you come and shot your mom and not shot, kids?
I don't know if you know the whole story, but his mom was shot at her home, so she was not at the school.
Oh, okay.
So he shot the mother, allegedly shot the mother at home,
and then came to the school.
Then came to the school. Now, why he came to the school,
I have no idea,
and no one will probably ever know except for him. But there's one thing I definitely have to disagree with you and. I'm a firm believer against guns. Never liked them. I've had four boys,
mm-hmm.
Who I raised, who on their birthday mm-hmm. or any other special occasion that would be warrant a gift, never ever, like other people, gave them a present mm-hmm. as a gun, a toy gun a toy rifle, anything that would be able to shoot, and that you could point some at somebody and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They never received it from me or my wife or ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally against guns. I wouldn't say it's an obsession. And believe me, I've spent several years in the military.
No, I
okay.
Yeah.
So, but
I respect that, and I respect what you're saying, because I know there are people who have different feelings on it or what have you. The only reason why I am in favor of it is because I've known people who kill people with knives, slit people's throats and stuff. And I'm saying, should we, you know, and just for me, I just say, if we can't ban everything that can be a weapon, it's just the gun is the choice, it's the easier or what have you. But and so I respect that. But for me, let me say it this way. And I'll give you this theory. And the theory is, when I was growing up, certain people had guns in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to you about this. The gangsters,
mm-hmm.
the real gangsters, not
mm-hmm.
no fake dudes. They had
right.
guns.
Right.
But they would take them guns and put them on the ground and beat you with them hands. They didn't just shoot you. But it's a different time and space now. So what
exactly.
I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say to you is that. But we didn't try them because they had a gun. When I was coming up, a guy with a gun against another guy with another gun, it wasn't going to go down like that, Daddy. He wasn't so chipper to jump in and do things. So what I believe in, and what I've observed over my life, is that if I have a gun, I really firmly believe that if people were allowed to carry firearms, and the lowest places of fatalities and murders seems to be, from what I've looked at, be places that you can carry. Because people don't want, I'm not going to do something if I know I'm going to get my head popped off. I'm not anxious to jump in here with a guy who got a gun. And even if I got one, I don't want to go into that. So I tend to think that guns are bad in the hands of the wrong individuals, but I tend to always believe, and maybe I shouldn't, and I haven't had this theory tested out, but I wonder what would have happened if that theater thing would have happened in Texas. Were they caring? Would the guy have killed as many people? Would somebody have blown his head off instead of him getting the shot off and killing as many people? So I get your point, and I respect it, because you know what? That's a personal choice, and I can't knock it. I can't even tell you wrong. But for me, had I been in there as a teacher and that dude came through there shooting, I'm popping. I'm blowing his head off.
And
I could have stopped somebody else, more people from getting killed than that were. So okay. I see your point, but that's just where I kind of see it.
Let me put it this way. Just think of the random acts that have happened within the last year.
Right.
And we're talking about a shopping mall. We're talking about a movie theater. Now we're talking about
uh-huh.
a grammar uh-huh. school.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do all three of those have in common? The three of
one,
them
two.
Have in common unsuspecting victims, not
mm-hmm.
knowing,
uh-huh.
and the element of surprise
mm-hmm.
is on the perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
not on the victims that if they knew what was coming. Even if they had a chance, even if they saw the guy with the gun, because they're in a situation of being innocent victims in an innocent environment, for the most part, that's the modus operandi of,
mm-hmm.
of these individuals. They go to places where they know they have the upper hand. They
okay.
know that the only way to. This is my theory here, okay? The only way to thwart that is to have more checks and balances on individuals that want guns. Now, I'm not saying eliminate guns altogether.
No, I agree with that. Now, what you just said, I agree with. I agree with checks and balances. I agree in making it tougher to get your hands on one. Yes,
right.
I agree with that. I 110%.
And also, why do individuals now? And this is really a sticking point with me, that you find out. And this one guy, he also had one, had an assault weapon. How in the world can somebody buy an assault weapon in this country, and carry one and be able to use one? Where I understand you have a right to bear arms. I understand that in the Constitution. I understand mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. but there's got to be a limit on the right to bear. You follow me? An assault weapon is in my way of thinking, mm-hmm. is not a weapon to write in order to write to bear that. That I can't see it. I can't see it.
You're talking about automatic. You talking about automatic weapons?
Absolutely, absolutely. Why in the world would anyone be allowed to carry to own an assault weapon? And especially in a lot of places across this country, it's not that hard to buy an assault weapon versus a handgun. I mean, increase, in my opinion, the checks and balances, increase the background checks, to even go with what kind of if you have. Excuse me, a history of mental health, there's no way you should have a any kind of weapon, because the fact is a gun versus a knife versus whatever else other than a gun. Mm-hmm. A gun is can do more damage at one time with a pull of a trigger than any knife or any other weapon other than a gun can do.
Mm-hmm.
A gun or assault weapon. You pull the trigger, especially if it's an assault weapon, that's automatic. You can eliminate, like today, 20 people
mm-hmm.
you can eliminate with
mm-hmm.
a pull of a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with a knife. You can't do that with any other weapon but something that's got a gun associated with it or a rifle associated with it. That's the problem.
And I agree with you know, do it, you know, would I have an assault weapon? Probably not. I don't have a desire for that. A handgun, sure, but an assault weapon, no. I mean, do I think they'll ever ban assault weapons? No. But if they did, I wouldn't feel like, okay, that's wrong. I mean, as long as you can, and I, like you said, I'm not in favor of banning guns, period, because I think then at that point you give criminals and other people, I think it would be worse.
Right.
But,
I understand that.
But at the same time, I do believe, yes, increasing checks and balances, yes, I do. But I guess my thing is you're right. You can do more damage than that with a gun and something else. But I guess what I was trying to say is that, you know, if we did that, I mean, people can do a lot of damage with a lot. You're right. A knife, you can't do the damage that you can with a gun. But you can still inflict it. And I guess what I was trying to show is that to the people who were saying we should ban the guns, I was like, no, it's like anything else. If I have a knife can be used for good. If I'm fishing and I'm cutting game and I'm cutting and I'm cooking, and it can also be used for something else, if I stab, that same gun can be used to protect just as it can be to murder. It can prevent life. It can save, preserve life just as much as it can take it. So I guess my focus today, when people were saying some of those people were saying those things, I was just saying, hey, look, you know, it's about the person. It ain't about guns. It's really about the person. And in that instance, I agree with you 110% about, you know, the checks and balances, the increase, making it tougher to get a gun. I agree with that 100%. I don't believe it should be too tough
mm-hmm.
to get a gun. It should be tough. It should be a tough thing. But then the other problem is but as tough as that makes it, if I get it in my house and my son or somebody else in my house who lives in my house decides to go out and blow everybody's head off, it still ain't gonna prove nothing. It ain't gonna stop nothing.
Well, then,
I'm not saying that to put down your point. I'm
right.
just saying we have to look at the other side of it too. Is that yes, as much as we want to do checks and balances, that's fine. But we got people in the house that ain't the legal owners of it that can get their hands on it. Now, do I believe that we should have some kind? I do believe, but it's kind of hard, though, because Do I believe that you should have guns locked in your case or locked in a case or something like that? Yeah, but who's going to police that? Ain't nobody going to knock on your door and come in and just look at it. So, but the thing about it is when a crime goes down also, you have to, you know, have it in a thing. Just like I was inquiring about getting a gun in Maryland at one point in time, and they got this rule where you have to have the thing stored in a separate container separate from the bullet shell. Like, if you carry it, you have to have but I'm sitting here going like, okay, so you're telling me if I needed to protect myself and somebody sticks me up with a gun, I actually have to go back to my trunk, open up the thing, say, hold on a minute, take out the thing, put it in there, you know, open up the lockbox, get the key out, put the thing in, and then shoot the guy. And I'm just like, that doesn't make sense to me. It's stuff like that that don't make sense to me. Because I understand why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it just doesn't. I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me. I was like, really? I was like, okay, so I get my head blown off. Meanwhile, my gun's in the back of the thing. I'm like, when do I get to take it out? I'm like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm like, that's kind of stupid. But like I said, I understand your point, and I agree with you, you know, 110%. I don't think you're asking for anything, you know, that shouldn't be. In reality, do I think this is going to change something with gun laws? Abandon it? No. Do I think it's going to make it, they should come up with tougher, stricter laws? Yes. You know, but only thing I don't trust about the government is that sometimes they go too far with it. And you're just like, okay, really? We're really going to do that? But because it is. So I'm in favor of increasingly making it more difficult for people to get it, you know, things like that. But, you know, in the meantime, man, it's one of those things, man. It's very sad, you know, and, you know, all that stuff. And I said a lot of things on Facebook today that, you know, probably had nothing to do with it. But you know,
this kid, 20 years old, had two handguns. One of them was a Glock, and I can't remember what the other one was.
It was a Glock and something else. I know what it was. And then it was like a semi-automatic or something like that.
And then he had a semi-automatic
assault rifle. Yeah.
In his car, or truck, whatever he had.
Right.
So he came well-strapped. Where he got this and how he got it is beyond me.
They just said on the news before I got on the phone that they were legally purchased. His mother bought them.
And
they were legally purchased, and they were in the house.
Well, let me put it this way, and this is what the other thing I was going to, because you had brought it up, and I'm gonna say it like this: if you purchase guns like this legally,
mm-hmm.
It's up to you to
police,
keep it under lock and key, because just like. If you are in a car,
mm-hmm.
and it's just for instance, I'm just maybe stretching this, but this is my analogy that I'm using. You're in
mm-hmm.
a car driving,
mm-hmm.
okay? You get
mm-hmm.
stopped. You don't know the person next to you is holding some type of drug, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You get popped. The person gets popped for drugs, and because you're in the car. You're associated with the person who gets popped for drugs,
mm-hmm.
so you get hauled in, and most places your vehicle gets repossessed, gets repossessed by the police, gets confiscated
mm-hmm.
by the police because it's involved in a crime, but you had nothing to do with it. You follow what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. If you purchase guns legally, regardless of who you have in the house, it's up to you to have those weapons under lock and key, because if they ever get out of your possession and is used just like this, in my opinion, and I know this is probably reaching, and I know you probably
mm-hmm.
don't agree with it,
mm-hmm.
you should be held just as responsible as a person who pulled the trigger or committed a crime with those weapons, because if they were your weapons and they got for some reason they got out of your possession under lock and key like they're supposed to be, and a person like your son or your daughter, can be a daughter too, committed a crime with them, you should be held responsible too, because it was your responsibility to keep them under lock and key. What do you think about that?
I think you should if they're under, I agree with you. If I have guns in my house and I have kids and I have children or whatever and they live in my house, and they're under the age of 18, I think they should be held accountable. But at 20, your ass going to jail. Because I'd be the first person to sit and tell you, if I had a son or a daughter and they went out and shot people, that's on you. Like my mom used to tell me, you go to jail, you go out and do something in the streets, you do what you do, you'll be there. Because I'm not coming to bail you out.
But I'm not coming
to help you.
But what I'm saying is this. This is part of the checks and balances I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that you have weapons under your care in your house, regardless if your kid is under 18 or over 18. Okay? They take those weapons to commit a crime. It's registered under you. It's under your lock and key and your responsibility. If you, for some reason, whatever, don't have a safeguard well enough, and those kids get those, or young adults get those weapons and use them in a crime, you're just as responsible as them because you did not safeguard it as well as you should have.
Okay, but how do you? But let me ask you this. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The only way here's the thing. I do agree with you, but at what point does a person become an adult and responsible for it on their own? Because just like this kid was 20, if this kid didn't kill his mama shouldn't have been responsible for him getting the gun. Now, she has it in the house. It's different if she illegally got them. It's different if she had them in the car, wasn't supposed to, and the kid got them and took them and went and did some crazy stuff with it. That's fine. But I don't, here's what I'm saying. And when you say you're overreaching, I don't think you're overreaching. The only thing I think you're overreaching with is the fact that if we say in this country you're legally responsible at the age of 18, or if you want to change it to 20 or whatever, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be a certain age where you say, okay, that's on you. No matter what I did, because here's the thing, what if he's 18 and I lock my stuff and he finds the key? Or let's say he shatters a window in my gun case and takes the guns out and goes out and blows kids' head off. Am I responsible then? So I guess what I'm trying to say is I agree with the fact that if you're under the age of 18 or whatever the age y'all set, if you say it's the age of 20, okay, you're under the age of 18 or 20, and you go out and you do that and those guns are in my house, I agree with that. Because you're not grown. You're not an adult. I should be able to control you. But if you're a grown-ass man with a little bitty mama or me, and you go and you take my guns while I'm gone to work, and my stuff is in my house, and you got to remember, there's no law saying how I'm supposed to have these guns locked up or put in my house. So if he gets them and goes out and does something, if he's an adult, he's responsible. Because that's the same thing as a kid who goes over. That's like the same thing as me going over my man's house. He got guns in his house, and I go take those guns and go shoot people. Or his parents' guns, and I go shoot people. His parents shouldn't be held accountable for that. I came over the house. I got the gun. I went out there, and I made the choice. And here's the number one thing. I'm an adult. I'm old enough to make a decision, whether it's wrong or right.
Yeah,
now,
but
if it's somebody under 18, that's different.
No, this is the analogy I'm using, okay?
Right.
You in a car with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You got the drugs. Your mother doesn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But... Mm-hmm. When you get stopped, I mean, when your mother gets stopped, okay,
uh-huh.
She's going down with you because she's in the car with you.
Let me say this to you. Nine times out of ten, just between me and you,
yeah,
I don't believe that's going to happen.
That happens.
Not with my mama. No, I'm saying not with my mama. My mama's 60-some years old. Now, if I got drugs in my pocket and I got weed in my pocket, I don't believe many cops are going to be like, all right, we're going to confiscate the car. They're going to take my ass to jail. 46 years old, I'm going to jail. I'm going to fucking jail. My mother's going home. They're going to ask her some questions. They're going to make a decision. No, because I've seen that. Because just like you said, you've seen that happen. I've seen it happen, too. But I've seen where a policeman's going to make an intelligent decision. If I'm sitting here, if I see this gray-haired woman, I mean, it all depends. Like you said, you might be right. It all depends. But I think that's a judgment call on most cops. So I know what you're saying. You want to hold that same law that we have with that to guns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that, okay, fine. If you want to hold them accountable as far as, okay, a fine. You got to pay a fine if your son does it. Do I think that the parents should go to jail? Hell no. Do I think they should be kicked out of their home? Hell no. I don't. Because what you're forgetting is you're making someone else pay for something that they, if they're an adult, a grown-ass man or woman, you're punishing other people who, just because I bought a gun, you know, we're going to do that. What if they took a knife out of my cupboard and went and go stab five people? Are we going to still say, okay, you're responsible because you have the knife?
But that's different because a knife is not something you have to go through a background check and have to obtain a license for.
Right.
A gun you have to go through checks and balances, certain checks and balances, to be able to own it. A knife you don't have to.
But if I go through that. You're telling me basically, so if that's the case, then everybody will stop just having fucking guns. Because
see,
if that's the case,
see?
It's like I can't have a gun because now I got to worry about if somebody gets their hands on it and goes and does something. Now I lose my whole life
because of that. Well, wait a minute.
I don't agree with that.
This is my whole point, what I'm saying. In order to be able to, not I wouldn't say totally eliminate it, but curtail it significantly, is to hold more people accountable for how these guns get into the wrong hands. You follow me? So
yeah.
if you have a household and the mother or the father is the owner of guns or several
mm-hmm.
guns,
mm-hmm.
and he knows that if I let my son or daughter or whoever other than myself, who I'm obligated because I'm licensed for these, get it in their hands and use them in a wrong way, I got to secure them to make sure that that doesn't happen because if they go down, I'm going to go down with them.
Okay.
That's exactly my premise.
So what do you say to the person who does everything they can to do and it still happens? So you want to punish people who are secure? If you found out that this woman had it in the case and did all this stuff, but now here's the thing, here's the fallacy about the law. The law
mm-hmm.
doesn't allow for that. See, the law just says, if you buy them, you get a license, you do it, somebody kills you. That's how laws are. They don't have no ifs, ands, and nothing else to it. So now you got people who said, I put it in the case. I had it here, you know. But if you're living in a house with a kid or you're living in a house with people who are there every day, if you tell me you can hide it, you can hide keys and put stuff in certain places and lock everything up and a person will never be able to find the stuff, never be able to find the key, never find a moment when the thing is open or anything like that, you're crazy, because if you live with somebody long enough, they're going to find out how to get to it, and they can still get it because they live in the house. There's going to be, and I guess my problem is that what if I've done everything I was supposed to do? But guess what? He still gets it. He still goes out and shoots somebody, and you find out I did it, you know what everybody would say? That person shouldn't go to jail, but guess what the law says? You're going to jail, or this is the repercussions of what you did. So all I'm saying to you is I understand what you're saying, but I'm not really – here's my thing. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't believe in this country that we can let people go out every day and drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes and get drunk and drive behind the wheel legally. It's illegal, but they can do it. But we put them in jail – and there's liquor in the house where they grew up with parents that drink. I just can't understand how, but now all of a sudden when it's a gun, you're basically saying, okay, if you don't secure your guns and the person gets it, they should be punished. And I'm like, okay, if that's the case, then we need to start doing that with alcohol.
Well, we need to start doing
that with driving. I know they've done it in some cases, but I'm just saying. Hmm.
Well, you brought up alcohol, and since you brought up alcohol, there are laws, and I don't know if it's a national state law, individual state law, that
mm-hmm.
if you serve alcohol to a person in a house or at a bar,
mm-hmm.
and they go out and get into a car
mm-hmm.
and get into an accident or cause some bodily harm, you can be held accountable before that, because the fact is you served them alcohol, and that was the last location they were at, a place they were at.
But is that not underage?
No. If you're
wait a minute. So you're telling me I can come over to your house, Jerry?
Yep.
And get stone cold drunk.
Yep.
Get in my car and leave.
Yep.
And if I get in an accident, you're held responsible?
It can happen. Absolutely can happen. Absolutely.
But that's not a law, though. I've heard it with the kids. I've heard it with underage kids.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's a law in New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it's probably laws in other states also, that you can be held legally responsible if the person consumed alcohol and left here and got into an accident and caused bodily harm or whatever happened, you can be held legally responsible because it was up to you.
They need to be shutting down bars then, because I've heard so many people leave bars, leave all these places. I don't hear nobody talking about the Dallas Cowboy dude who left the place and was drunk and rolled out there and killed his friend. I don't hear the bar being talked about, we're going to go ahead and put them people in jail and close that place down. They talk about that boy and them other people. So what I'm saying to you is this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that if you are a grown woman, a man, and you are over a certain age, whatever the age the law says, if you're over that age, you're responsible. Goodbye, go to jail, see you later, whatever. If you're underage, yes, your parents, the people you live with, should be held responsible. Because I know they do it for alcohol. I know they'll do it for guns. They should. And I know they do it for other things. If I go out and vandalize somebody's thing, they come to talk to your parents, and the parents got to pay the money to fix this stuff. So I'm saying there are laws on the books who do this stuff. So what I'm saying is, when you're underage, yes, your parents should be held responsible. Absolutely. Because here's the problem. The thing is, if I have a kid, when my kid was under 18, I tell you what to do. You're going to do what you do in my house. Because I'm going to snatch you. I'm going to beat you behind. I'm going to punish you. I'm not going to let you. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. The same way I disciplined you. That you're right. I'm supposed to have control. But when you get to be 18, 19, 20 years old, at that point you're dealing with a grown adult.
Right.
I can smack my kid and go to jail. I can try to whoop my kid and go to jail. Because that's called assault. It's not called assault when they're a kid. So my whole thing is, I agree with what you're saying about being held responsible. But I don't believe in punishing people, parents, or people who are grown adults, who are people's parents, who I don't believe in holding them responsible for a choice that their kid made. If they're not coerced or pushed or forced, you gotta do it. Because in the end, the same person's gonna get a gun from somewhere or somehow, and it can happen anyway. So I'm just saying I don't believe that's fair, because just as much as you grow, you have your four boys, you don't have a gun, but if your boys go out and go do something right now, I'm assuming they're grown.
Yes, they are.
But if they go out and they go do something, they're not gonna come to your house and be like, hey, look, you know, you have to take care of this because you know your sons went and did such and such and such. You'd be looking at them like you done lost your mind. You better go deal with them.
But that's different. That's different. What I'm saying is this, and let me be clear what I'm saying. If they're in the same households, my oldest is 37, my youngest is 31, I think it is, 32, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I say my youngest, 31, is for some reason, he's back living with me, all right? Mm-hmm. And I have a gun, okay? I'm responsible for that gun in every which way and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I keep it under lock and key.
Sure.
I'm the only one that has access to that gun.
Okay.
I tell my son don't touch it, whatever, or don't even tell him I have a gun. I just have it stored away somewhere just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he finds it, and he does a crime. Now, I understand he's in my household. I understand he's an adult, but it's up to me to ensure that gun doesn't get out of my control, whether it's under lock and key or whether if I take it out and have it in my hand. If he takes it and poses a crime, does a crime with it, of course, being an adult, he's going to pay for that.
Right.
But this, but what I'm saying is this extra checks and balances is, is holding the person who actually owns the gun, is licensed to the gun, accountable for it also. I'm not saying it's I'm saying this. Because of the extra checks and balances, it's just another way of preventing the gun getting into the wrong hand. Persons who own these guns are going to be extra cautious because the fact is they know if it gets out of my hands, whether it's an underage or an adult in my house, I'm going to be something's going to happen to me also. So it's just another level of prevention of having that gun or weapon get it into someone's hands that shouldn't have it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying now these people that I hate to say it like that, these people, but the people that you know what I'm saying when I say
yeah,
that.
I know what you're saying. What yeah. you mean these people?
Yeah.
No,
that are gun advocates for the most part are pretty. And I could be misspeaking about this, but I don't think so. That are pretty loose in how they store their guns in their households. Okay, especially out in the certain parts of the country where they use their guns for a lot of uses, and feel that they have a right to bear arms.
Right,
but. It makes it accessible to young adults or teenagers. And if the history of all these assaults on mass people are certain ethnicity and age group, which happens to fall in the mid-20s, give or take, early to mid-20s, and of a certain race. So, and it happens to be that the, most of the people that are gun-toting and right to bear arms are of the same ilk. And you would think you would have to have a little few more checks and balances for the fact these people need that to think about. You know, I got to keep this under wraps. Otherwise, it may get into the wrong hands because of whatever influences that are around a young adult or whatever, and causes him to take these arms and use them in the ways that have been used in different parts of the country, in malls, in a movie theater, and now in a freaking grammar school. I mean, 20-year-olds. And I'll say it straight out because it's a no chaser. 20 to 30-year-old white young men are the majority of the guys that do these assaults. And it hasn't changed. It's been going on like that for years. And it probably won't go. It'll probably keep going on for the simple fact is the laws haven't changed. There's not enough checks and balances. And there's not enough checks and balances for the parents of these people that have these guns in their houses.
Right. I mean, I got what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Like I said, the only thing I don't agree with, like I said, I just don't agree with the grown people doing it. I just believe it's underage. But, I mean, I agree with checks and balances. I agree with all that. I don't disagree with that at all. But I just think it should, you know, that's what it should be. So, having said all that, I'll try to have a few moments of something else, but I wasn't gonna mess with you today, but I ain't gonna mess with you too much. But I'm just gonna say, I told you so about Sunday night, Houston.
Sunday night or Monday night,
whatever. I told you. I was like, I knew because it wasn't that I enjoyed it because you know this. I ain't say nothing to you, but I was just like. I just, like I said, to be honest with you, I thought they would beat you, but I didn't think they would beat you like that.
Ooh,
but I knew
man.
It would be a good one, but I didn't think it was going to be like that. But I was just like, I was, to be honest with you, I was just, I guess I expected you guys to come back a lot. I guess I expected you guys to be kind of like sock 'em, rock 'em for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew they were going to get y'all. I mean, you know what it is? What it is? It's not that I don't really like the Patriots anyway. But
I don't
it's
either,
just the fact that it's just the fact that you know what it is about them? They execute. They're just so precise on their execution. And they do their – you can just tell. They execute and they do their homework on film. They have to. Because rarely do you see them just straight look sloppy or just straight get throttled too much. But, you know,
let me ask you this. And I truly believe this. Maybe because I'm biased because I'm a fan, but I truly believe this. First of all, I watched the game, and it was apparent from the beginning that they didn't come to play for one, and it was one of those games that anything they did, it just snowballed and got worse for them. So I attribute it to that because it only happened the second time all season that they actually threw in a huge clunker and lost like they did. Now, I truly believe that they could have won this game. Not the way it started off, and quite naturally not the way it finished, but in my opinion, I just chalked it up for a bad night. They just weren't on. They never started on, and quite naturally, the Patriots, as the team that they are, took advantage of it. I truly believe if they meet again, it'll be a tight game, and I think the Houston will win that game.
I can't disagree with you. If they don't win, they would have a better showing.
It
wouldn't be no 40 something to like. And I mean, because I was kind of a little bit surprised by the final,
right.
Even though I sat there and watched it, I was just like, dang, like y'all ain't even gonna have no fight to come back and like,
you know,
y'all ain't gonna bang these dudes out or like at least just. I mean, some people get mad. And, you know, end up getting a whole bunch of flags and fouls. I mean, I didn't even see no anger. Like,
right.
You know, you know how a team, if the team getting throttled, you know the first thing they start doing is you start getting a flag here, flag there, fights, you know.
Yep.
You didn't see
yep.
none of that. And I was just like, dang, like, y'all ain't going to, like, take this, like, I'd be a bitter dude. I'd be out there like, man, celebrating that. I don't care if I'm in New England or not. You ain't going to keep celebrating them. I mean, you know, I don't know. You just see that usually. And to be honest with you, what surprised me is we played – what shocked me is that I didn't realize until I thought about it, we didn't play that bad on Thanksgiving. Because when I looked at that, I was like, dang, I was like – and I kind of believe your point now because how you let the Lions play you so tight and win a tight game and then you go in – and we were number – what, we're number two in offense? And you
mm-hmm.
go in here with New England, and you let them throttle you like that. Like, so I tend
right.
to believe what you said. You just did, either you just didn't come ready to play, or something happened. And I just don't
right.
know what I don't. You know what? And I don't understand that. And the reason why I don't understand it, honestly, Jerry, is because if I am a coach, I know who New England is. New England ain't sneaking up on nobody. They ain't surprising.
Absolutely.
You should be up on your. If there's any, there are certain teams in the league you should be like. Nah, dude. This week right here, we need to prove a point. Like, we know what we're going to get embarrassed if we don't prepare. So that would
right.
be my motivation to make sure we're prepared. But for some reason in this league, and I, you know what I really think? I think that Houston really thought they were better than what they were. Not saying the players, but I'm saying from coaching staff, they must have really thought, we're 11-1. We ain't going to lose to these dudes.
Well,
like we'll go through our preparation. No, I'm saying we'll go through our preparation, but look at their record, look at ours. We're not. I think it was a case of just looking at them and maybe not taking them as serious as you should, but what they should understand is this is December. This ain't September. This is December. That means we're getting close to the end of the season and playoff time, and if anybody knows anything about playoff teams, especially them, They're gonna start throttling because now they're gonna start like we need to prepare for the playoffs and you know for the second season. And for some reason, I just think you're right. I agree with you. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, how y'all play the Lions who have like no secondary, tight, and you let these dudes throttle you? Like we're number
right.
two and you didn't even let us throttle.
Right. You're right. I mean, you're right. I just thought that it was just a bad clunker game. I mean,
but
whatever
no
could,
for that,
whatever
you should have came prepared. They should have came prepared better than that.
Well, they could have, should have, would have. But
yeah.
I made a point last night on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna name you four teams, and four teams has gotten the same thing. I'm gonna name you the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna name you Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna name you San Francisco.
Yep.
They've run up against teams and they've thrown in huge clunker games, and it just happens. And I've gotten a lot of texts saying how wrong I was, and your team got spanked or chumped or chipped or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I responded to them, Texas. It happens. It's not like
you want
it to happen. I don't think if they play them again, it's going to happen.
Right.
But everything that could possibly go wrong on Monday night went wrong for them.
Right.
And it happens. You don't want it to happen.
Because a team like that, you have to study film. You have to. Because
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. You can pick up on New England because they execute.
Mm-hmm.
And like they said, you have to be able – but see, the key to beating New England is you have to put heat on Brady. And that's
mm-hmm.
what they didn't do all night. And I was like, man, y'all got to get this dude uncomfortable. And they weren't.
Right.
I'm
right.
interested in seeing now what's going to happen on Sunday, or is it Monday, when New England plays Frisco.
That's on Sunday. I think they play him on Sunday night. I think it's on Sunday night, but I'm not sure. But they do play him on Sunday because the Monday night game is unfortunately the Tennessee Titans and the New York Jets. So
right.
And we do have a caller on the line. I'm not exactly sure who this is. The telephone number is not coming up. It's coming up all one. So I'm going to bring this caller in to see what they have to say.
Okay.
But we may have to eliminate him real quick if they get out of order.
Okay.
All right?
No problem.
I think there's a Skype caller. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Well, first off, this is Black, and you're not eliminating me from any line. don't let this dude fool you with excuses about the Houston Texans. That
no excuses. No
don't
excuses.
Don't let him do it to you, Mike.
Oh. Huh?
No
they're
excuses.
Overrated.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, that's a cowboy hater. That's okay. That's
you,
okay.
How do you prepare for New England? How do you not prepare for a team in your own conference? AFC.
Black.
Don't
you have an
excuses,
Mac.
Don't believe excuses.
You have an
excuse. What's his name?
Black.
Schwab.
The
yeah,
man.
Cotton Schwab runs the quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Black, the man has an ulterior motive.
The same
motive.
Stuff that you clean your ears out with every morning is the guy that plays quarterback.
Black. He has an ulterior motive here. He's a fan of the team. He's a fan of a team that comes from the same state, and is struggling to get in the playoffs. So he's hating. So I don't believe
we have a winning record just like your team.
Barely a winning record, and you may not have a winning record after you visit. Who do you play?
All I ask is you tell me the excuses now when the Cotton Schwab and the Texans.
Here you go.
They're one and done in the playoffs. You have
God and the Cotton Schwab.
Black. That ain't gonna happen. Our name of our team is the Houston Texans, not the Dallas Cowboys, who have only been in the playoffs one time in the last 20 years. And when they went in the playoffs, they lost the first game, one and done.
Yeah, sounds like what your team did.
Excuse me?
Sounds like what your team did.
No, not last year. Last year, we got into the playoffs. We weren't one and done.
And what did you bring home? Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Hey, what can I tell you? You know, well, we haven't been around as long as the Dallas Cowboys have.
Oh,
so,
man.
That's all I have to say. We have not been around as long as the Dallas Cowboys have.
You need to change those colors to blue and white like the Cotton Schwab box. That's all you're going to get.
You know.
Here we go. Y'all are terrible. picks for the week. So let's do that real quick for all the fans out there. We have New York at Atlanta, Sunday at 1 o'clock. Give me your pick.
Who's first?
I'm taking the G-Men.
Okay.
There's no way I'm taking the G-Men, not in Atlanta, when they're Matty Ice is like a lock to win in Atlanta. So I'm definitely taking Atlanta in that one.
I'm gonna take the Giants because this is usually the time they start cranking it up for playoffs. I just believe that. Next game is Green Bay and Chicago.
The man they call Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm going with Rodgers.
I agree.
Too.
I agree.
Okay, we're all three in agreement on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the one. Washington at Cleveland.
The man they call Whedon.
I wonder where that came from, NFC East.
I was going to say, I can't never go with Washington. I'm with anybody who's playing them, especially since the fact that my wife is from Cleveland, and she's a big Cleveland Browns fan. I'm going with Cleveland to beat Washington.
Whether it's RG3 or Kirk Cousins, it will be Washington Redskins.
Remember this, you can't never trust a guy from Michigan State. That's coming from Michigan, man. Anyway, yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out where the hell is the bowl game that Ohio State's going to for their perfect win. I just can't understand where they're not going. Where they're going? Nobody seems to be able to tell me.
That is a tidy bowl.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, they keep talking about we going to. I hear all their fans keep calling me up, hit me up on Facebook, talking about y'all going to the Little Boy Bowl. I said, yeah, right. I said it wouldn't be a Little Boy Bowl if y'all was going. Anyway,
I can't believe that coach is up for some type of coaching trophy. Did you get a coaching trophy for coaching 12 game scrimmage?
Wow. Yeah, I never seen that. But, you know, this is what they do. But anyway, Minnesota versus St. Louis.
I'm going with the Rams at home.
Same here.
I got to go with AP. AP is terrible, man. That dude is ripping the league up. I'll be honest with you. I will say this about him. I'm a big Barry Sanders fan. I am very, 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 like, number one, love that dude of all time. But I'm going to tell you, Adrian Peterson is starting to really make an impression that he could be in the same conversation. He doesn't have the moves. He's not the same guy. But what he's doing is just – he's just terrifying, man. I would hate to be going against that guy every week. That's just insane. Anyway, Jacksonville, Miami. I'm going Miami.
Yeah, I take Miami. They're favored by a touchdown, so I roll Miami.
Battle of Florida is won by Miami.
Okay. Tampa Bay, New Orleans.
Oof. Where are they playing?
I knew it was going to be hard.
The game is in the Superdome. New Orleans is favored by 3.5. I like my man Josh Freeman, though. I'll take Tampa Bay.
I was going to say, I'm taking Tampa Bay for the upset. After I saw what GMN did to him, I was like, Tampa Bay upstart. They don't really care about winning or losing.
I like New Orleans. If it was playing in Tampa, that'd be a different story. But I like New Orleans in New Orleans.
All right. And we have Denver versus Baltimore.
Ooh.
I'm picking Baltimore. After a two-game losing streak, I don't think they're going to put up with that. It'll be a good game, but I don't know.
Peyton Manning, can't go against him.
They in Baltimore, so I'm going with Baltimore.
Don't make it.
They have a lot of motivation because they've lost two straight, and they've never done that in like a few years. So
Denver's favored by 2.5. I'm going to roll with Peyton Manning in this one as well. I cannot put any chips on Flacco.
even if they got your man back, huh?
They can't stop the run at all.
Well, you got their man back though. But you're right. You might be right. Indianapolis versus Houston. I'm going with Indianapolis because I think they can do it. I so want to
take Indy in this one, but I'll give Cotton Schwab the win here at home.
Cotton Schwab, ain't this a? You know, I don't say any too many bad words on this, but ain't this a bitch? I can't believe you're doing that, Black.
That's crazy. Seattle, Buffalo.
Seattle. Seattle's made me a believer. They used to not be able to play on the road well, but Russell Wilson is no joke.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Seattle too.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle and Toronto for no less.
Wow. The next game is Detroit versus Arizona. I'm going with Detroit. You already know that. We need a
that's
win.
That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer.
Wow.
Yes, no-brainer, in my
opinion. What about you, Black?
I will pick the Lions.
Oh, okay. And Carolina versus San Diego?
Ooh.
San Diego's favored by 3. I'll go ahead and roll with Carolina. I'll pick Carolina now.
I pick Carolina, too.
Wow.
Pick Norvell Turner.
You know, I can't stand Norvell, but they came up big against Pittsburgh, which was a big surprise. They playing in San Diego?
Yeah, in San Diego.
I'll take San Diego. I like San Diego. I don't like Norvell, but I think they're going to try hard for Norvell, even though he's going to get fired.
All right. Pittsburgh versus Dallas. I'm gonna pick Dallas because I think Pittsburgh is in a disarray right now, and I think Dallas is hungry.
Wow, this is both these teams are really struggling. I take Dallas because I take Dallas.
Pittsburgh is favored by 1.5. Forget about Pittsburgh. Roll with the Cowboys. And that's...
Of course. What else would you say?
Wow. Kansas City versus Oakland.
Do we really have to talk about this one? Oh, my God.
I would say Oakland.
I
guess I have to agree with the table. Go Oakland. And as of today, there's still no spread in this game. I don't know why.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. This close to the game and there's no that's crazy.
Okay.
Who are you going with, Jerry?
Oakland.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, and the next one is San Francisco versus New England Patriots. I'm going with New England. I'm sorry. I'm going with San Francisco. If I was betting money, I would do what Floyd told me. For the money, I'd be with New England. But I'm going to take San Francisco because I want to see San Francisco beat New England.
This is in San Francisco, right?
It's in New England or San Francisco? Which one is it, Black?
This game is in New England. New England's favored by 5.5.
New England. Unfortunately, I have to say that, but New England.
Wow. And, Black, you going with New England, too?
Oh, of course. You got Cotton Swab 1 week. You got Kaepernick the next week. I'll take the Evil Empire.
Cotton Swab.
Right.
Ain't this a bitch?
And the last game, New York Jets versus Tennessee.
God.
Tennessee is favored by 1.5. I have this game ending in the 17-17 tie.
Dang.
I can see that, Black, because both these teams are. I'm taking Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to pull a so-called upset in this game.
So-called upset.
I imagine the Jets are probably favored in this game. I don't know.
Wow. I'm going with the Jets. I want to see them win one versus Tennessee. I want to see them win. Well,
Black.
Oh, I have to break the tie.
I was saying, who are you going with? Who you got to pick somebody?
Well,
if somebody were to win, who would you pick?
Yeah, give me Tennessee so they at home. I'll take Tennessee.
Okay. And my last one. National championship, Notre Dame, Alabama. Who y'all got? I say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
S-E-C.
Big.
Roll Tide.
Big. I'm talking about a blowout. That's what I think. Everybody's talking about man time. I think it's going to be a blowout. That line is too freaking big. Then running backs are going to beat the crap out of them. I just think it's going to be too much. I just do. I don't think they played it. They haven't played anybody who resembles Alabama in their whole schedule. I haven't seen one. To make them, to say, oh, well, they did it. You know, I just haven't seen it. So.
Roll Tide.
That's
all I got to say.
I say. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. It's a Friday evening. And
you guys,
the wife just walked in with some Chipotle, so I am disinterested in y'all right now. No, I'm just playing. No, would you say, do we have a game? Oh, let me say that. I forgot. Let me announce that. Right now, tonight, the Pistons and the Brooklyn Nets are playing right now. After that, tonight, Baby Shaq, Ojo, Dave Bailey, my man Mike Keys, and a bunch of other guys, Corey Allman, are all there to play in the Red Bull Midnight Run. It's going to be four teams. There's a team from D.C., which, of course, those guys represent, and then there's against Chicago, New York, and Boston. And by the end of the night, one of those teams will be crowned the champion. It will happen after the Pistons and Nets game. They will have those games, and they will play.
Where is that at?
That is at the Barclays Center.
They're going to be playing on the same floor. Okay.
Yep. So this is a big thing. I wish I was there, but, you know, money tight, man. I can't buy a ticket, and I ain't buying no NBA tickets and then wait till after. Like, forget that.
Right.
So that's where they are right now. Tomorrow, Beltway Bombers play the Bay Area Shuckers out in the Annapolis Christian School. Black, you ain't made it to our game in a minute, man. We got to get you out to a game, bro.
Yeah, I gotta get out. I got the free weekend. What happens?
You got a free week?
Roosevelt, is playing in the DMV Elite Tournament. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
And then they schedule the Kill Car to play my Theodore Roosevelt Rough Riders. So it's going to be.
Is that at night?
It's up Trinity this weekend.
I'm saying, what's the schedule tomorrow? Our game is at 7, but I don't know if you can say our game is at 7.
Yeah, tomorrow's game is from 11 in the morning to 6:30, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. All right. Well,
I think Kiel and Roosevelt play at 6:30 Sunday night.
Okay, Sunday night. We play Saturday night at 7.
Yeah.
So if you want to make it, let me know, hit me up. Other than that, that's about it for the week. There was a lot to talk about. Manny Pacquiao getting flattened on his face. That was funny. What can I say? I'm just glad all the Pacquiao fans can shut up now. And I said a long time ago, when I saw him beat Marquez, I knew he could beat Pacquiao. When I saw that, I said he can beat Pacquiao. If a man comes in and dominates the dudes that have been whooping, that have been knocking your head off, you've been having wars with for the last few years, if he dominates him easily and don't get a scratch, how can you then, the guy you've been beating up and beefing with, can beat the other guy? I don't understand that. But, you know, we can finally stop talking about it. Mayweather did announce that he said he has a May 4th date, and they have August or September date, the 14th?
September 14th.
So he's going to fight twice next year.
Hopefully I see my guy on one of those cards.
I know. My wife actually gave me some good news and told me, you know, for your birthday in March, we're going back to Vegas. You already know, Black, where I'm going.
Yes, I already know
where I'm going. I'm going to be at the Mayweather Gym inside, action, seeing what's going on. And by that time, March, it should be just cranking up with their training camp. Because training camp usually goes about 3 weeks.
About three or 4 weeks. But when you're there, I want you to put a bug in your mind and say, my man Black from D.C. keeps telling me about Canelo Alvarez. What's your name? Tell Floyd make that happen. That's what I want to pay my good hard-earned money to.
To be honest with you, I'm gonna be real honest with you. Since we're sitting here talking about it, I will say this. Actually, and you're not going to believe this, I think Canelo Alvarez is a real threat to Floyd Mayweather because he's so heavy-handed. And the only advantage I think Floyd has with him is the fact that he's like Pacquiao. He's so reckless, and he comes forward, and he attacks you so much that Floyd could counterpunch him to death. If, put it like this. The only way Floyd could beat Canelo Alvarez is he would have to be the Floyd of old. He would have to hit and not get hit, and he'd have to be on his bike the whole fight. It would have to be, bop, 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 all right, I'm out of here. Bop, 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 I'm out of here. Because Canelo Alvarez, what he did when he decided to stay on the ropes for what's his name? What's my man's name? What was the last fight he had? Cotto? You can't do that with Canelo Alvarez. He can't do that with Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah,
can't
Canelo,
do that with Alvarez.
Canelo eats shots and they give shots, man. That's a tough dude, man.
Exactly. I would like, actually, I'd like to see Canelo. You know what fight I'd like to see, but I don't think it'll happen? I would like to see Canelo against Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner is like my new
yeah,
hot dude. I like that dude.
That'll be a good fight, too.
I love that dude. That dude, I don't know. Jerry, have you seen this kid?
I can't say that I have.
What about the guy who knotted up Berto? Was it Guerrero?
I didn't take too much of that because I think he'll get his head knocked off. He the one talking about. Oh, you talking about the white guy?
Yeah.
Or the little Mexican guy talking about, come on, Floyd, let's fight. I'm like, dude, you don't even understand what you asking for. I wasn't impressed by that. I mean, really, I was. Berto. Let me say something. Ever since Berto lost to, what's the guy that got knocked out by Floyd?
Oh, what is that dude? The guy with the little pig in his head, right? I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, Floyd gave him a two-piece in a bit.
Ortiz.
Yeah, ever since Ortiz beat him, I mean, I don't think he's been the same. I don't think he's been the same at all. I don't know what's going on with Berto, because Berto used to just be a monster. And now it's like Berto tried. I think what Berto did is Berto, somehow when he got knocked out, he changed his style in a response. But I think what he did is when he changed, he stopped being who he is. And I just think he's getting clocked now. And so, you know, for me, I mean, I'm telling you, you need to see this guy. You need to see this guy. Next time the fight's on, I'm gonna hit Jerry and let him see who he is. The boy's name
I think Jerry knows.
He said he did. He said he does. Well, not
yeah,
for
he
me.
Knows Broner.
Adrian Broner. He fights a lot like Floyd Mayweather. He tries to be kind of like him in the personality and all that stuff. He talks a lot of trash, a lot of stuff. But the boy.
Oh yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's what
his
last fight.
Yes, sir. Did you see how he beat that boy in the middle of the ring and the boy was still swinging and still couldn't touch him? I was just like,
right.
Man, this dude's going to be a problem. And the problem is that he's 22 years old. Like he said, I'm doing the things that Floyd's doing now, and I'm 22 years old. So doing what my big brother's doing now is setting me ahead.
He's from Cincinnati, right?
Yes. He said he's setting him ahead.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, I was like, you know what? If this guy already got the shoulder roll and the great defense, and he's got the speed and the punching power, which I saw, I was like, dude, this dude's going to be a monster. And he's only 22. What's he going to be like when he gets to 25, 26, and 30 years old in his peak years? I mean, he's going to hurt people.
Right.
So, you know, I think Adrian Broner, I'm very excited about him. Only thing is I wish somebody would come along in the heavyweight division and dominate it again, because I'm really missing Mike Tyson right now, because now we got these two bum Russians that are running the heavyweight division, and it's just terrible. It's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. So, anyway, that's it for tonight's show. My prayers go out to the families again in Connecticut this weekend. Black, I appreciate you coming on the show and being here making your picks. Jerry,
yeah,
I already know I appreciate it.
I haven't been on in a while, but I caught up doing so much.
No, I think he came over here to get on Jerry.
That's okay.
That's what I think happened, because I was like, dang, I was like, Black on? I was like, dang, where's Black been? Like, Black must have said, nah, I'm going to get this dude.
Nah,
again.
Like, again.
Again, I know. So, yeah, man, let's just enjoy the weekend with your families and hold your kids close. Call your kids, tell them you love them. And until next Friday, man, I will see all you guys, man. God bless you. God bless my listeners. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, Mac, I sent you a text. We needed to get that theme song back again. For some reason, it disappeared. So I'm rolling with this now.
Okay. Oh yeah, I gotta get my other song.
Get it poppin' and it's just me and my clique coming through. That's how we roll.